You guys have been great on Twitter today. I've been asking the question, what's the most random sports stat that blows your mind? The one that earlier today, the caller that we had that said Larry Fitzgerald in his career has more tackles, Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Fame wide receiver, has more tackles in his career than actual drops. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing as well. We'll get some more of your phone calls coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Remember, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Before we get into the NBA, let me give you some headlines right now. Nets GM Sean Marks said the organization committed to sending a group to Orlando for the NBA start in late July. Now, this despite several of the players saying they're not making the trip. Remember, DeAndre Jordan did test positive for COVID-19. Wilson Chandler said he's opting out for family reasons. Nick Claxton, shoulder surgery, so they're not going to be at 100% when the league goes back and tries to play those 8 regular season games and hopefully the playoff. Also, Congress met with college athletic leaders today to discuss a potential framework for the name, image, and likeness deal for collegiate athletics. This obviously comes on the heels of several states starting to pass their own legislation, and these leaders have gone to Congress to say, hey, help us. Help us try to find the way and the path to get going and to get forward for name, image, and likeness, so it's not just 50 different laws, as we're all trying to figure that out. All right, before we get into Adam Silver, let me tell you, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, fan favorite, new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes, and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. All right, Adam Silver, I think, does a wonderful job. I think that he's always, I wouldn't say always, but I would say 90%, he's pretty transparent and doesn't give you a lot of hemming and hawing and a lot of just, you know, cliche speak. He speaks to what people want to know, and I think that's why he cuts through to the players, and I think that's why the NBA, traditionally, you always feel pretty good about what's happening because Adam Silver is in charge. Now, he was on this Time 100 talk and talked and was asked about what kind of spread would put a halt to the restart that we're going to see in Orlando in a couple of weeks.
Honestly, I'm not sure. We have a panel of scientists, doctors, experts that are working with us, and we're going to see as we go. I mean, certainly, you know, if cases are isolated, that's one thing. I think a lot of the determination will be our understanding of how our community became infected. That will be part of our judgment in terms of whether we should continue. But certainly, if we had a lot of cases, we're going to stop. As I said earlier, you cannot run from this virus. I'm absolutely convinced it will be safer on this campus than off this campus, because there aren't many other situations I'm aware of where there's mass testing of asymptomatic employees. I mean, so in some ways, this is maybe a model for how other industries can ultimately open.
So that was Adam Silver on that Top 100 talk talking about, listen, I got to be honest with you, I don't know about this virus. And I love the fact that he says that. He's not trying to tell you, well, I've got this thing figured out. Basketball's coming up here. We're going to be fine. We're going to be this, that. He's not making these announcements in order to get a headline. He's transparent. He said, listen, more than likely, we're going to have some people test positive. As long as it's not an outbreak and a huge deal, then we're playing. But if it is, then we're going to have to pause. That's just common sense. That's common sense. Now, the bigger question is, for me, not necessarily the start of the season. Now that that's going to be worked out, it's what's going to happen, and will we get the NBA finishing the season? Earlier in First Take, Stephen A., Max Kellerman, and Jay Williams talked about it, and Max even believes Adam Silver is the reason the NBA can complete this bubble season. Check it out.
I am confident about it, because Adam Silver says things like that. The NBA is realistic about what they're up against. Adam Silver, of all the commissioners, when it comes to this pandemic, when it's come to social issues, when it's come to labor relations, everything, is the adult in the room. People, I think, tend to confuse the idea the adult in the room is the one with the just, you know, imposing their authority, insisting upon it, or showing the players or the fans or the owner that they have it. No, that's not the adult in the room. The adult in the room is this. He's reacting to actual information and trying to make informed decisions and be realistic about it and get everyone on the same page. Look, if you want to have a season, you have to be in a bubble. These are the kind of tests we need to have our hands on. Okay, now the tests are widely enough available. If the players sign up for these kind of strict testing procedures, self-quarantine or quarantine, all these kind of things, then we may be able to finish our season. Not, hey, yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to start the season on time. We won't cancel anything. We're going to have fans in this. Not all this kind of nonsense. He's giving it to you straight. Think about the job Adam Silver has done as commissioner, by the way. Even with an issue as delicate as China, where at first he was seeing, well, what am I going to do here? But ultimately, he made the right decision. He had to stand up for some core American values and at the same time thread the needle with China. It's such a huge piece of business for the NBA. It's the NBA grows internationally at a much better rate than the NFL. It exports better. China's a huge reason why. It's one of the main reasons why. And he had to consider that relationship while balancing the values of the NBA. And he did it. Of the NBA, he did it. You know, and so it's not that he's perfect, and I understand the bar is set low for these commissioners, but Adam Silver once again shows you why the NBA is in good hands.
I think it's wishful thinking to think that we're going to have an end of the season. I really do, guys. And I am a person that wants to see basketball more than anybody. We all love basketball. I want to see LeBron James has a chance to win a chip. I want to see Kawhi have a chance to win his third chip on his third different team. I want to Giannis win a chip. But you have to bat 1,000 essentially in order for this to actually happen. And that is hard. There are a lot of mitigating factors that go into this. And even if the NBA players bat 1,000, does that mean everybody else around them, are they going to bat 1,000? Are they going to make the right decisions? And ultimately, guys, I find myself saying, you know, is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth it for the sake of entertainment? And I know that there is a lot of money at stake, but the league has made a lot of money over the past 5 to 10 years that I think 1 year could be a buffer to wait and to see what happens with this whole pandemic. I don't know if I necessarily agree with Adam Silver's comments about, you know, we're going to have to learn how to live through this pandemic. I know we have no other choice but to live through this pandemic. Playing sports through this pandemic is another question here, guys. And there are a lot of players that have underlying conditions. So if one player who has an underlying condition of asthma maybe catches COVID-19, ends up in the ICU, is that worth it? Are we going to sit up here on national TV and say that's worth it for the sake of entertainment and money? I mean, ultimately, if we're looking at this and we're being practical and we're being reasonable and we're seeing teams' facilities being shut down leading to this, are we going to sit here and say on national TV that, hey, going to a bubble means I can make a case that it could be safer there? Well, like, their staffers are allowed to go home. Guys, there's a lot of moving pieces here, Stephen A. Smith. Like, at the end of the day, I love sports and I want to see it come back. But we have to really ask ourselves, Stephen A., like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? That's a legit question, man.
I'm not being insulting in any way because you're my boy, but you sound like a damn political pundit on one of these cable channels.
No, all right, that's fine. That's your opinion,
I'm just saying that's how you sound.
Okay.
Let me say this to you. With all due respect, Jay, you are on the air right now. You're getting paid. You're not working for free. I understand you're not endangering yourself because you're in a location just like I am, just like Max is, Molly, and everybody else. What I'm saying is we have to be cognizant and mindful of an economy. Now, I don't say be mindful of that to the point that you got the governor and you acting like the governor of Florida and the kind of stuff that he's been saying or other political folks that we won't get into right now. Under no circumstances am I saying that. And under no circumstances, and I'm trying to be laissez-faire or just dismissive of the importance of life. We get that. But as I've said to Max on several occasions, you do not have a definitive date upon which a vaccine is going to be provided to folks in this nation or throughout the world. You don't know. So in the indefinite period of time, you're asking people to just stay home and wait and be supported. And I'm telling you, plausibly speaking, that's not going to happen. Now let me get to Max's point about Adam Silver. You know what, Max? You're right to give Adam Silver credit. But to be a bit lighthearted here, can we just call it what it is? Adam Silver was watching First Take. Adam Silver heard what the hell I said yesterday. You know, he's trying to scare people to stay in the bubble. That's what that's about. Adam Silver is letting cats know, excuse me, don't sit up there and contribute to this situation getting worse. Don't sit up there and try to get outside the bubble or try to squeeze people in the bubble. I don't have to revisit that conversation. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. Adam Silver and the NBA is basically letting people know, y'all. Okay, we got a bubble atmosphere. You know why we got that bubble atmosphere? Let's put forth our due diligence to make sure that we honor the restrictions, all in an effort to elevate the level of safety protocols that we've implemented so we don't have a significant spike on our hands. Adam Silver fears, just like anybody would sense would fear, that these brothers ain't gonna last 3 weeks to a month being away from loved ones. I don't believe it. I believe it's a legitimate concern. And I think that it was very smooth for Adam Silver to come out and to make sure he let everybody understand, look, man, this season could end up being canceled if y'all don't handle this right. He's sending that kind of message, and I think it's going to be received.
Love it from Stephen A. Smith there earlier on First Take. Remember, tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I am Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. And I do think there's something to be said, and I almost even take it one step further, as I'm joined by Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo, our sports senior NBA writer here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Vince, I almost want Adam Silver to say it like this. Hey, when we go down to Orlando, I am worried that some of you will break the quarantine and that some people will break the bubble. But let me put it in this way. If you do, the season likely will be canceled. $2 billion will be wiped off. And guess what? We'll have to tear up the old CBA and completely redo it. And you ain't going to like the results. So you guys decide how you want to live. What do you make of this situation with Adam Silver and Orlando restarting right now?
You make the point as if you want him to say it. Who says that he hasn't said that? He just
Correct.
Hasn't said that
Yep.
in a way for public consumption. There was a conference call featuring Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala, Michelle Roberts, along with Adam Silver and Mark Tatum late last week for the media, basically to answer any form of question that you want. And Andre Iguodala said something really interesting when he said, look, we're doing – part of the reason we're doing is for the future – of the league and the future of players to come. And if that isn't code for, hey, we need to protect this bag, I don't know exactly what is. So, yeah, I do think there's an element of, you know, hey, salvaging the season, entertainment, all these other type of things, getting the message out. But there's a very practical reason of, hey, look, they can operate, they can activate force majeure because, you know, ESPN, Turner, they want to get the bang for their buck. And if that doesn't happen, then that's going to fall on the backs of the players and they will not have any practical leverage during the pandemic.
Ultimately, when you look at it, and I think you're right. I think Adam Silver kind of says that without saying it, right? Because Adam Silver doesn't come across as more of a stick. He's more of a carrot guy, is going, hey, listen, make the right move so we don't have to do this. And I think that's a good way a commissioner should run his league, and kudos to him for it. Ultimately, when these teams and these players do come back, how surprised are you going to be if you do see some bigger names go, no, this is just not for me?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think everybody has to make their own value decision. I think it's one of those things, especially when you see some players who have, you know, a child custody situations where they only have them for a few, you know, certain amount of months. And also the fact that, look, some people are compromised just because of their own health situation that has nothing to do with ankles or knees or elbows or anything like that. It's a personal decision that everybody has to make. And we are, and let's be completely clear, we're not privy to everything that players have to deal with their own health. That doesn't have to do with, you know, an athletic endeavor. So while I do think that most of the main guys will come, and you remember maybe about a month or so ago, you had a lot of the heavy hitters, LeBron and Giannis and Kawhi Leonard and all these other guys on a conference call basically saying, hey, yeah, we want to come back and play. And I think there was some degree of them knowing that the circumstances were going to be more restrictive than freeing. So I think you have more of the stars that want to play. I think you have some of the guys who are as invested in the league's future as they are in the present. They're going to make that decision. Some of the guys who may be up for contract, some of the guys who may have a little more tenuous situation, yeah, I can see those guys choosing to take a step back from this.
The great Vince Goodwill joining us here, Yahoo Senior Sports NBA writer. Follow him on Twitter, at Vince Goodwill, myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN, here on First Take, your take. And Vince, when we start looking at this, the actual play, all right, we've been talking about concepts and bubbles and whatnot. When the play comes back, is it as simple as LeBron adding J.R. Smith and LeBron and the Lakers just being that much more talented? Or is this going to be as wide open of a rush here in this playoffs because there's been so much off time?
Well, one of the big complaints that I've heard from NBA fans and media is that, man, we wish the NBA was a little bit more like March Madness. Guess what, guys? You're kind of going to get your wish here because there's the element of randomness that's going to come into play. A lot of the variables that we normally have during a traditional NBA playoff, like rhythm, home court advantage, continuity, all those things are going out the window. It's almost like you're basically starting a season from scratch. If you look at it, this is a longer break from this pandemic than most teams have had, you know, in their own off seasons. So to say that, you know, we would look at it and say just going to continue on from where we left it, where LeBron and the Lakers beat the Bucks and then they beat the Clippers and they look like the best team in the league, that we're just going to pick up from that point, I think that's foolhardy. I think it's more of an opportunity for the teams that we consider to be a little more skittish, like Houston or Philly or Boston. If they can make a run, you know, this would be the perfect situation for some of these wild cards that we didn't expect much from but are very talented to maybe step up and surprise us a little bit.
Vince, when you look at this, and there had been kind of some talks about what they were going to do with the court, whether they do present a message, whether it's Black Lives Matter, and then even talking about the different players wearing things on their jersey. How do you think the NBA and Adam Silver should handle that?
I think it's a very collaborative process, and I think this is one of those situations where the players have all the leverage. If you look at it from a standpoint of all the topics that we just discussed when you're talking about we're in the midst of a pandemic and the players are coming back and they're doing it, you know, you got to think 90% of their pay has already been doled out this year. So it's not necessarily an economic advantage for them to do this now. You know, it's more or less a way for them to recoup the present and the future for the league. They're doing this for the league and taking on a health risk. So that gives them a certain amount of practical and emotional leverage with the league, with the teams, with Adam Silver that they would not have otherwise. So it's a little bit more than, you know, them going and saying, hey, this is what we want to do, and the league coming back and saying, hey, we think you should do this. This is going to be a little more, I believe, player-driven just because of the risk that they're taking on for the league. And whether that's – I don't think it's going to be names on the back of the jerseys, but I do believe that this is a chance for players to basically control the narrative, control the message, and whether it's their Zoom calls with the media or, you know, the sideline interviews after the game, you know, but I'm very curious to see what the league will relent on, because I do believe the league knows they don't really have a leg to stand on by way of resisting what the players want.
Mark Spears from the Undefeated, sources told him that said NBA players have decided not to use the names of those who have died in police custody or in racial motivated incidents in the back of their jerseys due to concerns about offending those close to someone whose name might not be used. So that was a little bit of a development. Vince Goodwill joining us here from Yahoo Sports is the NBA senior writer. At some point, though, I do wonder who approves these messages, because you're saying, hey, players have a lot of leverage at this point. They can say it. They're taking this risk to go back and live in this bubble. But at some point, I mean, the NBA has to agree to it, right? I mean, you can't say, all right, so free Hong Kong, I'm going to go ahead and put this statement, or I'm going to put this statement on there. Well, like, where's the determining factor going to be for Adam Silver this?
Well, I think a lot of those discussions will be had before it even gets to Adam Silver's desk. Mm. This is where you have the leadership of a players association, where you have Chris Paul, where you have Michelle Roberts, you have Andre Iguodala. Yes, Kyrie Irving is a part of that, but let's, for the sake of argument, let's remove him from the equation. I think you have a lot of these discussions amongst yourselves, amongst your teams, and then you come to the league with something. It's not like they're going to just throw out random messages that can be damaging towards what their objectives are, and knowing that it can harm the league. I think we've seen from Daryl Morey that sometimes taking certain stances aren't necessarily time and place. And I don't think the players are going to be in that spot.
Maybe the most important question here as I'm ending. Better Song on the Fix by Scarface. Guess Who's Back with Benny Siegel and Kanye and Jay-Z or My Block?
I'll take Guess Who's Back.
My Block has one of the best beats, though. Like, just you could just put My Block in the background, and it's just so, it's so good by Scarface.
But the baseline on Guess Who's Back is rivals anything that Scarface has ever put out.
That's fair. 1995, Peter Burns would love that with like 220s in the trunk and it just rattling back in the day. By the way, that was produced, but Guess Who's Back was produced by Kanye West too. So always does pretty good. Hey, Vince, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. You can follow him on Twitter at Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Hey, thanks again, Peter. Have a good one, man.
There it is. Vince Goodwill joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. All right, coming up, more of your crazy sports stats. Some of these Major League Baseball ones are crazy. Welcome back. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can tweet me at Peter Burns ESPN. I asked a question earlier today, what's the most random sports stat that blows your mind? And you guys have been great. Y'all have been some fantastic one. The one like Stan Musial had the exact same number of hits at home, had over 1,800. He had 1,815 hits on the road. He had the same exact at home, 1,815 hits. Chris Davis of the A's, four straight seasons with a .247 batting average. That's nuts to me. And think about Hank Aaron as well, too. Remember, we just saw the ESPN special on Sosa and McGuire in that incredible home run battle. This one kind of, I didn't even know why I didn't understand this one. Hank Aaron, the original home run king, and probably the one that should be the original, the actual only home run king, he never even hit 50-plus home runs in a season. Think about the numbers that he put up, and he never had more than 50 in a season, which is crazy. I also found some of these crazy as well. LeBron James never won a game in Utah. It's kind of a random fact, right? Just random, and didn't get an opportunity to do it this year, and won't because he'll be down in Orlando. All right, more of your phone calls here, 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to Idaho. Eric, thanks for joining Peter Burns in for First Take, Your Take. What's happening?
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me on.
Got it.
Hey, I just wanted to point out a pretty amazing stat in my mind for baseball, and that would be the White Sox closer Bobby Jenks retired 41 consecutive batters over a month and change, and those are high leverage innings. And I mean, it's really almost a perfect game and a half, but done, you know, an inning and change at a time, which I find just amazing.
Right, because you're not talking about, hey, this is, you know, one out, nobody on in the fourth inning of game 81. You're talking about high leverage, hey, you know, the call to the bullpen, bring him in, high leverage situation, we need an out, boom, he did it 41 times.
Yeah, and his teammate Mark Burley eventually retired 45 straight, but that was just a perfect game and then four innings and change the next start. This is over a month and a half. And real quick, another quick amazing one is Michael Williams' 97 straight free throws for the T-Wolves over 8 months. I just find that just mind-blowing to not miss once. So,
Eric, thank you for the phone call. It is. Again, you go back and look at my Twitter account, at Peter Burns ESPN. Listen, nobody wants to work right now. Let's be honest with you. All right? You don't. You're hanging out with us over here on ESPN News. You're listening to radio. You're chilling, right? You're pretending to work, but you're not really. I get it. Go back and look at this Twitter, the thread. I think now we're up to 1,900 different stats that people have brought up, and it's out of control. Out of control, some of these numbers. Like this one, I found it was interesting. 1972, the Miami Dolphins and the 2010 San Diego Chargers. Now, they're the only teams in AFC history to have both the number one offense and the number one defense. Now, of course, we know the 1972 Dolphins, perfect. Popped the champagne, everybody was happy. Zonka, Shula, they win the Super Bowl. They had the number one offense and the number one defense in the AFC. The 2010 Chargers, they too had the number one offense and number one defense in the AFC. In 2010, they went 9-7. They didn't even make the playoffs. Crazy. Also, the other one, Tom Brady, second all-time in receiving yards after the age of 40. That one blew my mind. It ends up being Jerry Rice and then Tom Brady. It ain't game day, but you can feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite. New campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Rochester, we go. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in on First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Got it, man.
Hey, so I've been hearing a lot of these cool baseball stats, and one that I've always remembered that sticks out to me, in well over a century of professional ball, the only player in MLB history to ever hit two grand slams in the same inning was Fernando Tatis back when he was with the Cardinals. Yeah.
Think about that. Eight ribbies in that inning, and to hit back to back grand slams in the same inning. It's crazy. And you get to see these statistical anomalies in baseball, right? 162 games. You have so many different teams in just a sport that's been played forever. It's Kyle, some of these numbers, I mean, even going back to Rifkin, right? I mean, we know that 2,632 consecutive games, 16 years, didn't miss one game, And that's one of the ones that we know. Thank you for the phone call, Kyle. Let's go to Richard in North Carolina. What crazy stat did you find out today, Richard?
Well, this is a crazy stat, but I'm going to go with most known number of no-hitters thrown while on LSD.
I would say Doc Ellis would be number one.
That would be one, Doc Ellis.
It's funny because I played collegiate golf and I would talk to these guys that it'd be Q school or PGA Tour guys and said some of their lowest rounds ever were just hungover from hell. Didn't even think that they could hit the range before the round because they weren't thinking, right? But Doc Ellis to allegedly do that on a different level, that's a pretty good one as well, too. Thank you for the phone call, Richard. Jay is in Kansas. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. What crazy stat you got for me, Jay?
Yes, I feel this is more known than some of the baseball facts, but in the 2015 finals when LeBron James went back to Cleveland and he lost that finals, but he led all players on both teams in all five major categories, points, rebounds, blocks, steals, and assists. I still think that's one of the most overwhelming finals performance ever.
It is interesting about, and I remember watching The Last Dance. Thanks for the phone call, Jay, about, you know, how many people are going back and looking at how great Jordan was, which obviously he was amazing. And then I started thinking about, what if he would have flipped him? What if LeBron would have put up those numbers? What if LeBron would have done what he did back in the late mid-80s and in the 90s? Would we look at him differently? And I contend we would have hated Michael Jordan. Hated Michael Jordan. LeBron James would have gone on and looked at one of the greatest players in the history of the game, which he already is, but he would have been revered. We would have loved LeBron James had he played in Michael Jordan's time. And if Jordan had flipped it and Jordan been the bad, quote unquote, the bad teammate, the punching to Steve Kerr and just the way that he treated rookies and the gambling and everything else like that and playing golf on and all of these different storylines that we found out in The Last Dance. If that was done in today's social media world, we would hate Jordan. We would. And again, as much as I love social media, it's a great way to contend. I look at it. I just, you know, we've been tweeting. Over 1,900 of you guys have given us a great random sports stat. I love it. It creates a great avenue, but it also tears down as well, too. I just thought that was fascinating to see. Had those flipped, what would have happened? Colorado we go. Mike, thanks for joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. What do you got for me, Mike?
Hi. In NFL history, there have been 8 games that ended 45-0. 3 of those games happened on Eagles wins in a 36-day span in 1948.
It's a random thought. By the way, I feel like 2020 has a 45-0 win, a lead at halftime over on us, by the way. I do feel like that's the score right now. That's a good one. Mike Nelson is in Texas. You got a crazy stat for me, Nelson? Nelson,
Hello?
What's up, bud?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Nelson. So close. Give us a call back, 888-SAY-ESPN. Follow me on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN. All right, coming up, I want to get into not only some more of these stats. You can hit us up on that. But I also want to talk about college football. Could they punt on the season and get your thoughts on it? And what I mean by that is, would you be more apt to watch it if it ends up being in the spring? I've got some thoughts on that. Remember, Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas, and it gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear tests using SAE 5W30. We will get back to more of your phone calls here on First Take Your Take, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. I'm Peter Burns, in for Jason Fitz. Is this it? Is this the last thing we're doing today? My goodness. Jason Fitz has an easy job. I just realized that. Why does he even need to take vacation? Peter Burns, in. Here on First Take Your Take, hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns, ESPN. Remember, ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer changes the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. We're going to get to more of your phone calls about some of the crazy stats that I put up on my Twitter feed about the craziest stats you've ever seen. But before we do that, I had some thoughts on what Paul Feinbaum had to say. He was on Golic and Wingo earlier today and talked about, Paul, what are the chances that the season even starts, much less it finishes?
Yeah, I think for the first time we're probably at about 50% to start the season on time, and you know, finishing it is I think it goes below that. But these are numbers that were a month ago. I thought it was 100%. I mean, that's how confident I was. So these numbers are slipping, and I think if you're with if I happen to be with you in a week or two, the numbers are going to go down. I mean, right now it's a little hard to predict what's ahead, but I just want to hear an honest portrayal from someone in intercollegiate athletics, and I have yet to hear that in the 3 months that we've been having this conversation.
Well, Paul, I'll tell you this, and Paul's a friend of mine, and I will say this here on ESPN Radio, is that the honest answer is that there is no true answer right now. I mean, Adam Silver's talked about in the NBA, hey, listen, we're going to do our best to have a season, and if there's a huge explosion of cases, we're not going to have it. The thing that frustrates me, and I see it all the time on my Twitter feed at Peter Burns ESPN, is I posted something yesterday, said, listen, we don't have to be absolutism here, right? It doesn't have to be my way or the highway, right? It seems like there is a middle ground in that what we're learning more and more in every single day is that this influx of cases of people testing positive around college football, let's just use that for example, in college football, that it is younger. It doesn't affect younger people as much as it would that people that had illnesses or that an older age group. So, but that doesn't mean that the positive tests are no big deal. I think what we all have to understand, if we want college football to be back, if we want the NFL to be back, we want Major League Baseball, we want just life to be back, there are simple tools that we can use. Now, this is not me on a pedestal talking about this. This is common sense. I've talked to several athletic directors and several different Power 5 football coaches in the last week, and I asked them, what are the chances we're going to have a season? And all of them are kind of hemmed and hawed, but also all of them have said, hey, listen, right now it's a coin flip. But the ultimate, every single one to a T, I couldn't even tell you. I had coaches cursing at me because of how frustrated they are that people weren't willing to do what was just a social thing that everyone should do. And a lot of that was either the social distancing or the wearing the mask, right? Like, it just made common sense. The coaches were upset that everyone is going through all of these protocols to get the season done for college football. Brian Windhorst reported today the NBA is going to spend $150 million, $150 million just to play the last 3 months of the season. All of these coaches are doing everything they can to make this happen, and you still have people out there going, well, I'm not wearing a mask. I refuse to do it. Right? That is a political deal. There's nothing political about that. There's nothing political about that. In fact, I've come to realize that wearing the mask when I look at it outside, because I am a sports fan, I want sports out there, it is an IQ test. It truly has become an IQ test. When I look at people, and if you're not willing to do the bare minimum, do you deserve sports to be back in your life? You don't. You really don't. It's people that look at it go, well, you know what? Just not wearing a mask. It baffles me. And if it doesn't baffle me, And if you don't take my word for it, take it for every single coach and every single player that wants to be able to do this, wants to have sports and live sports every single day. They're the ones that are the frustrated ones. They're the ones right now are going, why the hell are we doing all of this if you're not willing to make one thing? Please. That's all I ask today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Greg in Springfield, thanks for joining Peter Burns here on First Take Your Take. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to discuss that conversation you were talking about with Michael Jordan and how the eras were different and Jordan played, LeBron played. You know what I mean? I think that I disagree with you strongly because I believe that the big difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James is why we will always love Michael Jordan over LeBron James is because Michael Jordan came into the NBA and went into the woods with a lot of tall trees and he conquered them and he knocked them down and he walked away with six chips. LeBron James came into the NBA as a man child. He did everything he was expected to do. He was bigger than most of his opponents. He could back him down, muscle him, and he did what was expected of him. And he didn't get six chips, all those trips to the finals. I'm not saying they were all his fault, but we will always love Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan brought home the chip. Michael Jordan went into the woods and knocked down a lot of big trees. When you look at the era of who he played in, the competition, and how many guys that are in the Hall of Fame that will never have chips. And you look at the guys who will go into the Hall of Fame during the LeBron James era, and you can see the level of competition. LeBron James was expected to conquer these people. I don't think the expectation was for Jordan to do what he did in the NBA during his era.
Hey, Greg, thank you for the phone call. The difference is, though, the reason why Jordan had it that way, because he wasn't on everybody's radar, right? And he was able to live that hype. He was able to create that hype and change the game. And what I mean by that is I'm saying that if you would have flipped it, that if we would have had Michael Jordan in the social media age, we would have hated Michael Jordan, right? So many people look at LeBron and, oh, God, I can't stand LeBron, this and that. Well, guess what? LeBron had to live up to the hype from the time that he was in Akron, Ohio, the time that he was in high school, putting games on ESPN. And guess what? He has lived up to that hype. Frank is in North Carolina. Real quick, Frank, what do you got for me?
Hey, thank you. Hey, great topic today, by the way. What I think is, you know, everybody thinks about Joe DiMaggio and they think about his 56-game hitting streak, but a lot of people don't realize that he struck out 368 times in his career and hit 361 home runs. And back then, Yankee Stadium was built, it still is, built for lefties and to left center. It was 490 feet. Mickey Mantle's rookie year was DiMaggio's last year, and in his book he said he saw DiMaggio hit at least 25 balls 450 feet for outs. That's what I got thinking.
That's amazing. 490. Think about that. Talk about a pitcher's park, right? 490. Would have loved to have seen some of those numbers back in the day. The baseball stats are incredible. Again, nothing I did over the last 2 hours, at least go to my Twitter account at Peter Burns ESPN and read the thread of some of the most amazing stats that people never heard about. They are absolutely incredible. Major League Baseball's got some good ones, NFL as well too, college football, hockey, all of them. I am Peter Burns. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. It's been a pleasure to hang out with you here on First Take Your Takeover on ESPN Radio and ESPN Radio Afternoons coming up next.